In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the universe, there are only human beings and angelic beings. Fairies, nymphs, elves, gnomes, aliens, spirits of the woods do not exist as distinct beings, even though they have other names. In Islam, according to the Quran, there is a reference to beings of fire between men and angels. The Oris are also cited, saying that every good Muslim who goes to heaven will have at his disposal 72 beautiful women who did not live on earth, but were created especially by God as distinct beings for the sexual satisfaction of believers for all eternity. Obviously, this can neither be demonstrated, nor do they actually exist. In all the near-death experiences that millions of human beings have had, they have never seen such beings in heaven. As for angelic beings, some are good as guardian angels, and others are fallen angels who refuse to obey God and wanted to live apart from God. They are demons. Among human beings, there are some who live on earth and others who died and are already in heaven. Others are in a state of purification in what we call purgatory. Among these are lost or wandering souls who did not reject God when they died, but who had many sins to overcome. Perhaps they had not forgiven, or they had murdered, or they had done other bad things, and they may be in that state of wandering souls, not knowing where they are, nor whether they are saved or condemned for many, many years, and some to the end of the world. Sometimes they appear in the form of monsters, but they are not demons, but souls in great need of complete purification. They can also even take possession of some people, but since they are not essentially bad, with prayers they come out easily. On the other hand, there are human souls who rejected God and are like human demons who can appear in the places where they have lived or where they have died, but always with the intention of harming, because they are evil since they have freely rejected God. It should also be clarified that elves do not exist. Sometimes small children appear and can be scary. They can be demons, or they are the souls of dead children who were not baptized, who are in a state of limbo or children's paradise. These dead children believe that this is their definitive state. But before God, they are His very dear children, and one day, sooner or later, they will be saved by the mercy of God and the merits of Jesus Christ and the communion of saints. Many of them have been aborted, and no one has wanted them, not even their parents, who have rejected them and forgotten about them. Others have died from spontaneous abortions or from the effect of contraceptives. Many of them wait for love to get to heaven, and often these aborted children appear to their little brothers and sisters, who see them grow up for a few years as children. In heaven, there are many of these children already saved, who play and are happy forever. Limbo is not an eternal state, but a temporary one. Their final destination is eternal heaven. The so-called ghosts that appear are usually souls in purgatory seeking prayers from their friends and family. They can also be lost or wandering souls who seek help, or souls in pain who need to forgive or purify themselves of their many sins and cause problems in haunted houses. Let's listen to some specific cases. A patient reports that due to her husband's job change, she had to move with her two children to another city. On the way, they had a serious accident. Her husband and her daughter were killed instantly, and she and her son were seriously injured and taken to a hospital. She says that she had an NDE, or near-death experience, and says, "I remember there was a moment where I saw the side door of the room open. I could barely turn my head because of the tube and the intravenous line. I clearly saw two figures outlined in black against the white backlight. Those human figures were getting closer, and I could see that they were two people very well known to me, my husband and my daughter. They walked closer hand in hand until they became clearly visible in the light of the room. They came closer and leaned against my head, and I felt them kiss my forehead and take my hand. My husband began to speak, but despite the fact that I was listening perfectly, something was different, although I knew it was him. I didn't see his lips moving, and his skin color was also different. My daughter, very quiet with sad eyes, did not detach herself from her father. I couldn't talk or ask him because I had the tube down my throat. He called me by name and told me that they had come to say goodbye to me, that the life we would have led was no longer possible, that they had allowed him to say goodbye to me, but that they had to come back. As if I were paralyzed, I couldn't do anything. He took my hand, he squeezed it, and together they went back to the door. The door closed with a flash of light. When I got out of the hospital, the first thing my son and I did was go visit their graves at the cemetery. There are many cases where people who investigate cases of ghosts and demons claim that some ghosts allow themselves to be photographed. In some situations, they allow recording for hours in the cemeteries to later hear the voices of the spirits that live in the cemeteries. However, one has to be careful because in cemeteries, there are many good and bad souls. And many of these evil souls who are condemned may want to harm. And if satanic rites are performed, as sometimes happens, or spiritualism, even true demons may be present. One has to go to the cemetery to pray for the deceased, and when you pass a cemetery, it is always good to pray, even if it is an Our Father, for the needy souls of that cemetery. They will thank us in many ways. They are grateful. In the life of St. Pio of Pietrelcina, also known as Padre Pio, as in that of many other saints, souls from purgatory appear. In the fall of 1917, he sat by the fire praying the Holy Rosary and fell asleep. Upon waking up, he found an old man next to him. Padre Pio asked him who he was. He replied, "I am the one who burned to death in this convent, and I am here to minimize my purgatory." Padre Pio promised to celebrate Mass for him the following day and asked him not to be seen again. One day, our dear St. Pio of Pietrelcina related this event to another priest. The priest went to the town hall and found that indeed an old man named such and such had burned to death in the convent, everything just as Padre Pio had told him. He was referring to Pietro di Mauro, who had been burned to death on September 8, 1908. Another witness priest tells that he heard more than once from Padre Pio himself the following: "One night I stayed to pray in the choir, and at a certain moment I heard the noise of candlesticks coming from the main altar. I thought that some brother was in the church, but those noises continuing, I asked, 'Who is it?' 'I am a novice who minimized my purgatory cleaning the main altar because I neglected it when I should have done it. Pray for me.' After a few moments, I left the choir to join the brothers who were warming themselves at the common fire. But as soon as I went down the stairs, I found a young stranger. I felt that he was the novice who had spoken to me. He just told me, 'Thank you,' and he disappeared. On December 29, 1936, a priest died. Padre Pio knew that he was very ill. On the 30th, Padre Pio saw him in his room and asked him, "How? I was told that you are seriously ill and you are here?" "All my illnesses are gone," the priest replied, and he disappeared. In December 1937, a week after the death of another priest, for three consecutive evenings, he appeared to Padre Pio, who was in the choir. He saw that from the altar of the Immaculate Conception in the Church of San Giovanni Rotondo, he was returning to the sacristy. Padre Pio also spoke of other souls that appeared to him to ask him for sacrifices or to tell him that they had already been released from purgatory. Brother Modestino declared in the canonization process, "Padre Pio spoke to me about my father's death and told me, 'Your father is in purgatory and needs sacrifices.'" Regarding the fate of another priest, he stated, "He has not even been in purgatory. He is already in paradise." This priest had suffered 2 months without complaining from a very painful lung tumor. Another witness priest certified in the process of beatification that one day, a mother whose son had disappeared in Russia came to him, asking him to ask Padre Pio if her son was alive. Padre Pio, with tears in his eyes, replied, "Tell the mother that I myself have accompanied him to paradise." She burst into tears, but little by little she calmed down and waited for Padre Pio to pass by to thank him and kiss his hand. The same witness priest said, "In 1948, someone asked me about his deceased sister. The previous year, Padre Pio had said that she was still in purgatory, but this time he replied that she was already in heaven." Another witness priest certified, "Once a person very close to the convent asked me to ask Padre Pio about the fate of a son who was in the war. Padre Pio replied that he was already in the glory of God." But it was not all good news. To a widow of the city of San Severo, Italy, who had asked Padre Pio about the eternal fate of her husband, who took his own life, the saint replied, "There is no hope." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.